Welcome to My Opening Line. I'm Keith and the Girls, Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
My Opening Line, we talk to your favorite comedians, artists, and talk about what they did when they got started and why, God, why after that incident or incidents did they keep going?
It's always embarrassing, which really makes this show fun.
Make sure you're subscribed to Laughable, by the way. Laughable.com for your phone. You subscribe to podcasts as you normally do, but you also subscribe to the person. So you type in the person's name and any podcast they're on pops into your phone. If you're a fan of comedy, you'll love it.
For example, our guest today doesn't have a podcast, but she's starred on a bunch of podcasts. Mm-hmm. So if you go to Laughable and you put her name in, you can find everywhere that she had a conversation with somebody on a podcast.
From Access TV's Gotham Comedy Live, she was a regular panelist on Fox's Red Eye.
A regular on the Keith and the Girl show.
Regularly performs for the troops, a national and international hero. My girlfriend, not yours, Kyle Ocasio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
How you doing, Kyle?
I'm good.
It is great to see you. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
Oh, boy. All right, I'm going to leave. Okay.
I, of course, you know, I know what Kyle's up to. I see her perform all different places.
I follow her on my app. I always know where she is.
It's a little scary.
Well, she's such a pro, but I really don't know the beginnings necessarily.
Well, we'll ask a question every once in a while. Let's record it.
I have to put a whole show together. And then, because what if she did tell me already? Right? And I'm like, let's pretend we don't know anything. Tell the audience your birthday. You know.
That's why we really have you on. He just needs to really get to know you. And this is the only way he knows how to intimately speak. Right.
Well, we're basically the same age. When I was a kid, it was hard to find stand-up on TV. Mm-hmm. Did you find the same thing, or is it because I was from the Boondocks? I would be maybe a friend's house who had HBO and you saw somebody stand up and you were, oh my God,
yeah,
this is Paula
suck.
Poundstone.
Right. Yeah. I didn't have cable and I couldn't really stay up for the late night stuff. You know, we weren't allowed to do that. So I think, you know, I had to wait for the DVD, but we didn't have DVDs.
Right.
I had to wait for the tape. So I think Eddie Murphy's Raw was my first one.
Yeah. I wasn't looking for stand up when I was younger, but I do remember my mom watching Rita Rudner.
Okay.
It was the late 80s, and she had on this big fluffy dress. She had some really funny bits about she was one of the first people to write, like, everyone's getting divorced these days, that now when I meet a man, I have to think, is this the man I want my children to spend their weekends with?
Right. Like,
and that was such, and it was so funny to me.
And that's so controversial back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was a bomb dropped and, you know, out of a woman's face.
Yeah.
And you must have, like, that, what you just said, I can imagine when I was younger, I'm like, oh, we're allowed to say things like that?
Well, what was interesting, too, is that she was an attractive woman telling jokes, which now, you know, over the last decade is, you know, people talk about all the time, like, some women don't dress up when they're on stage, or should you not, or should mm-hmm. you? And here was this, like, really feminine woman telling these little zingers. I mean, she was very funny, very smart. She still is. I just remember she was the height of her popularity then.
And does it get you angry when you see stand-up guys and they don't have to, it doesn't matter what they wear.
They look like dog shit all the time and they do great. Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, you know what happened to Kyle? Fairly recently, this guy introduces you on stage.
Oh, man.
And what's he say?
I was furious. He said that, all right, is everybody ready? We got a lady coming to the stage.
And the guy knows her.
Now, I will say this. This has been talked about ad nauseum in the comedy community for years, and it never bothered me tremendously, but the way this guy did it, people sometimes every now and then, they'll be like, all right, we got a lady. It's like, all right, it's stupid, but you get up and you recover and you do your opening joke and everything's fine.
It's like the only time the women in comedy get called ladies.
Right.
This was so annoying because from a professional standpoint, it messed me up. So it's like to me, it's more of a reflection on the host. If they say something sexist, it's like, well, that just makes you look stupid. But this particular instance, he said, okay, we have a young lady coming to the stage. Start clapping. And, you know, just bring me up. We don't need a, you know, 5-hour intro. And then he says, oh, she's not that young. She's a little bit old. And so then he's like, he keeps going on, but she's a lady. She's attractive. Are you guys ready? And then he does this thing where he is making a joke that I'm small or short. So he moves the mic stand down. So I get on stage. And normally I think I can recover pretty well from something like that. But it was too much and it was just awkward. I think I said something like, thanks, jackass, or something, and expecting a laugh, didn't get a laugh. And it was just this awkward.
Well, that's not ladylike.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it was
He said lady.
I was really, and I don't usually get that mad on stage, but I was rattled and very much like it was a waste of time. I was particularly, I had not planned on performing that night, and I called the club because I was working, I was getting ready to go do another show and I wanted to prepare for it. So I wanted to work out some bits and it was a waste of time. The audience could sense the awkwardness between the host and myself. Mm. And it was like, they didn't turn on me, but they didn't feel like I was going to be able to do the job. And you could tell there was just that tension. And
it would be so great if we could bring men up just like by what we decide is them. Cause that's what they're doing. It's like, this dude, the way he talks to me behind the scenes, I am certain he has a micro penis. But honestly, like, that's not what we're about to experience here. So that's neither here nor there.
That won't affect his words. Here he is, a dude.
Well, it was just more than anything, I was less offended and just more like, it was just unprofessional. Like, at the end of the day, even though I was working stuff out,
I like you have to explain it.
Yeah.
But it really upset me a lot. So.
What do you say to him after?
I told him he's a cocksucker. And then he's like, oh, you know you're my homegirl. I was like, don't touch me.
It's also another sexist thing. Come on, babe.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm not your homegirl. And that's not how you host a show. And you suck.
But that's funny because, you know, in an office, you can't be like, you know, you're my homegirl.
Right.
You're in your office. Like, it seems like we're telling jokes because we are, but we're at work.
And stop acting then, this guy, like, it's a bunch of animals you have to perform for, and you never know what's going to happen on any given night. But here's a broad.
Yeah.
Eater.
Yeah. But come on, let it roll off your back. But this audience is not good.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. In or out, buddy.
Right. When did you find out immediately how sexist? I don't think it's every job, I guess, but there's how sexist stand up is.
No, I mean, for me, when I really started, I mean, I had a couple forays, along the path when I was younger, but I really started after I had a family. And so I got into it to be good. And I didn't.
So you already had kids at home that were treating you like shit. I
wanted to just be funny and learn.
Is it a coincidence? Like I waited too long, or are the kids doing such ridiculous things? You think, well, come on, you're writing this for me.
Oh yeah, I remember. I was also very unhappy. So I think I'm shocked that people that live like happy lives get into comedy. Like, I was in a miserable marriage. I had just lost my parents and just had a baby, and I was trying to figure out, you know, who am I? Why am I doing this? And I would journal. And one day I read back one of my journal entries that I think I was crying when I wrote it. I was like, I'm breastfeeding and I'm on the toilet. I can't have any time to myself. I feel so sad. I feel like I made a mistake. I don't have a supportive partner. What am I going to do? And then I read it a couple of years later and I laughed. I'm like, this is really funny. And I was like, I don't think I like children. And that gave birth to my first joke that I ever wrote. And I had a friend that had been doing a little bit of stand-up. He had been producing a show. And I said, hey, do you think I could get on? I just have some stuff I wrote. I just want to try it out. And I got up on stage and I was like, this is it. This is it. I don't care if I ever make money. I don't care if
done, you loved it so much.
I loved it. Yeah.
See, this is the problem with comics. That rush that you get when you do well, it's like, nobody pay me.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the clubs hold on to that.
Right. They heard that. Did you have fun? I do it for free.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. No, I remember.
We'll put you down.
You will. Right.
Marion Grodin was hosting and she's so funny. And she said to me, and I could tell it was sincere because I've been doing stand-up for 11 years and we've worked together over the years, and she meant it. She said the first night, she goes, that was pretty good. She goes, slow down a little bit, but that was pretty good. And I remember looking back at the tape, and I was talking very fast.
Like, so you knew to record yourself?
It was a bringer show, so I had to bring like 75 people. and they give you, that was the reward. You know, you got like a CD. a DVD.
You got the embarrassment for you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I still have it. We can watch it for porn or something.
Sure, sure.
That's really funny because they think it's like, well, you get a tape that you could submit to things. Like, like that's what you want to do with that
stuff.
Oh,
my gosh, yeah.
Before that, you did go to an open mic thinking you're going to perform.
Like 10 years before, right?
So I really started stand-up when I was 32, and I went in full force. But
anybody tell you that's late?
Yeah, a lot of people. Yeah. Even I did a tour recently with someone who is my friend, and I don't think he meant to hurt my feelings, but he said something like, I had a really good night, and he said, "You're really funny." He goes, "But I don't know, you're over 40 and you're a woman. Is that like what's going to happen now?" And he said it like he was kidding, but I was like,
"Yeah, what's going to happen now? I took you on tour."
Right.
What's going to happen now? I'll do more tours and take somebody else.
Holy shit.
But it was
also, by the way, even when you start, and this is now, you're already established and you're a professional comic. So he's like, "What happens now?" I keep working in comedy.
Yeah,
like,
okay. I just keep doing this. Yeah.
But what's funny is at 32, people say things like it's too late, and I don't think it's too late for anything.
Sure.
I think it's late to say I can't do anything anymore, and I think that's how people start dying.
I also think that I didn't have anything to say before. I would, like 32 was young enough to have the energy and the desire, but old enough to be like, I think I have some substance and I think I have some opinions.
That's actually a good point. You get these 20-year-olds on stage and they're like, "My mom's Sutton." Okay. Right. All right. Did the train bother you again today?
Maybe move out of your house and have a thought.
Yeah. Jerking off in college stuff. Yeah. And I remember when I started, I was, 32, and there were a lot of 20-somethings who, a couple of them are still around, but for the most part, I thought they were not funny and.
Right. So 10 years before that, you're 22 and you go into an open mic place and you're ready to perform. You think about, some simple jokes that you're going to say, and you see other people perform and you go, "Wait a minute, who the fuck am I? I don't have perspective.
Yep.
I'm doing a disservice here. More people should recognize that."
Good for you, honey. You gave up.
Yeah. I walked into an open mic, and again, my heart wasn't fully in it. I remember just thinking like, I used to be a dancer, and all the, backstage, they'd be like, "You're so funny." I'd always be making jokes. And so when enough people tell you you're funny, you start to think it. And it's a bet. Don't tell people they're funny because we don't need more people trying stand up.
But that makes sense also. Like, I'm comfortable on stage. I can move on stage.
Well, that's
freely.
What I thought. And I think my transition to stand up was I was already very comfortable being on stage. And I think for a lot of people new at stand up, that's one hurdle you have to get over. And then you have to write jokes, and then you have to learn the banter. I was already okay being on stage. So
So you walk in and you really were like, "Oh, these people have something to say and I don't."
Well, a couple of them were funny, and I remember thinking, "Oh shit, I don't have anything written out. I'm not prepared. I'm like, I'm going home."
What did you expect to do? Right.
I was going to get up and do something about like, "I used to be a dancer and I'm flexible, so I'm probably good in bed," or something stupid.
And the crowd would go crazy. "We can picture it. God damn it."
Just like nothing organized.
But 10 years later, respect me when I'm on stage.
Well, she didn't do it.
Right, right.
Well, and I don't regret walking out of there because I didn't have enough of a burning desire. It was more just like, let me check this out.
And how did it feel walking away? Because I feel
fine. Like, it didn't feel okay. I've had auditions as a dancer where I walked out and I felt terrible. Like, "You fucking pussy. You should have stayed and, believe in yourself." This was just like, I'm just going to check it out. Okay, these people are funny. I think it was smart. I think I'm not ready to get up there because I can't hold water with the people on stage right now. Where now when I do comedy, most of the time, unless I'm with some fabulous headliner, I think the opposite. I've been featuring for many years, and there's a few times when I'm like, "Why am I opening for this person? It should be the other way around."
Do you get better?
Yes.
At stuff like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
You perform at Caroline's a couple years later, and you have a tape from there.
Well, that was a big deal. They have this breakout artist thing, and I know that you're going to poo-poo it because you're going to be like, "Yeah, it's not a bit," but it is. There's like steps in stand-up where – maybe you don't know as an audience that like, oh, breakout, like, but
right. No, it's an important step. You're right. For the time when I got the Breakout Artist Series, I was probably 4 years into stand up.
That's a big deal. You get your poster on the front.
Oh yeah.
Caroline's is a big and wonderful, amazing club. That's like a classic, mm-hmm. you know, and also you get the respect of your peers, which is unfortunately a very big deal.
Well, it is a big deal. And you'll learn as people that start in stand-up, you learn as you go on, most of the work you're going to get is from referrals. And it's a referral business. You don't just like cold email someone and, hi, I do stand-up. Can I work at your club? It's like, so I always say, you know, be professional and be nice to people because your peers will help you.
One second. I want to tell everybody about Quip, Q-U-I-P. It's the toothbrush I use. Hemda uses it. It's electric, but not big and bulky like a regular electric one when you think electric, right?
Yeah, not as expensive either. It was so affordable that I have one at home. And I also have one when I stay at my brother's family's place. It's an electric toothbrush that doesn't take up the amount of room that the regular one does. And it's just, it actually is the size of a regular toothbrush. So here's what I like actually the most in it. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm brushing my teeth for 2 minutes because it indicates it every 30 seconds. So I know to do 30 seconds on the top right, 30 seconds on the top left, bottom right, bottom left, obviously. And then when it's done, it's this sense of satisfaction. Actually, I told my friend Aldo about it, mm-hmm. and he recently texted me. He said, dude, I came in for my 6-month dental cleaning. It took less than 15 minutes on the actual cleaning. That goddamn Quip really works.
That's right. It's great. You're going to love it too. Over 1 million happy, healthy mouths do. Quip starts at just $25.
That's the craziest part.
Yeah. And if you go to getquip.com/MOL for my opening line, /MOL, right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/MOL. So you perform at Caroline's. You take that tape. It ends up getting you on Access TV.
Yes.
At the Gotham Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. That's TV. They're doing makeup. They're doing your hair. How exciting!
Yeah, that was fun. That was a really. I think that was the first legit thing that I felt like I did. And I still use it. Like sometimes people are like, what do you want me to say? And I can say a couple things. And I usually pick that just because it's easy. I'm like, I'll just say Access, even though it's not on anymore. But
your set's online and mm-hmm. I watched it. I thought it was perfect.
Thanks. Yeah. I was very proud of it when I did it. I still like, I said I don't like the closing joke. I think it was a little sloppy. It could have been a little tighter.
Yeah, well, I take the compliment. A person thought it was perfect. Tell him why she's wrong. She enjoyed it, but she's mistaken.
Could you shut your mouth? Okay. So here's the thing.
Can you say that again to him?
Shut your mouth. Who does stand up once a year. Okay. Let's have you on my opening line. Well, not much to say.
What did you call it? It's not stand up once a year.
Oh, I thought I was giving him an alternative. I think he's offended. I said it's more of like a year in review. He doesn't like that.
Let's say I save a life once a year. A doctor has to be clear I'm not a doctor. Okay. I save lives once a year.
I like that you compare it to save lives.
Yeah. You are very funny. I love you.
No, it's a bitter business. So, well, it leads to this. You do Access TV, and who's the MC? Who's the opener?
Okay, so for when I got Access, they always had one. Usually, it was like a famous comedian or personality, and we got Vinny from the Jersey Shore.
How they decide that with like thousands of comedians? It tapes in New York. Right. Thousands of comedians are like, Vinny, come on.
Right. Well, he had...
He's not even the crazy one.
No.
He's the sweet kid.
Well, he said, I think his opener was, I'm the smart one from the Jersey Shore.
Okay. Oh my God, Keith, is that true?
They're idiots. I mean, that's a joke that he's making, obviously, right?
Yes. Well, he had an interest in doing stand-up.
Yeah, so. He was the doctor of the group.
Is he the one that saved lives?
Right. He drank one less bottle of Jaeger. I mean, I don't know. They're all maroons. But all right, good for him.
So he was the host and the other comics.
That
and
must
I,
have made you guys so nervous.
We were nervous. It was Tony Woods, Nick Nowicki, and Tom Van Horn, and we were downstairs. They had the Vintage Lounge was made up as a green room, and they had the makeup and they had food, and they took good care of us. And we were all like, oh, did you hear it's the host is Vinny? And I'm like, oh man, the crowd's going to be cold. What if he sucks? He doesn't even warm them up. Like,
no, and what about my bit of gym tan laundry? Do I still do it?
Then he walks in and couldn't have been nicer. We all felt like dicks because he was the nicest guy and he was funny. He got up on stage and he hosted and he was really good.
Does that upset comedians like when you have Steve O go into stand up
No, because I think from what I had understood, Vinny had been working. He'd been taking it seriously. Like he wasn't just. I love when people are like, "I'm going to try stand up." Like, okay, you know, good luck.
Easy.
he worked. He had been like going around to clubs and he really had an interest in learning. And I think he was good.
That's cool. Then at that point, it's like, yes, Vinny's the host because he does have a following.
Oh, that place was packed.
Yeah. So if it's going to be Vinny and he's going to do a good job, then it turns around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think the people from Jackass saw Jersey Shore and was like, this is all we had to do? Get drunk? We get drunk to do what we do. We're high to take a bullet to the balls.
One show is the before, the other one's the actual.
Yeah, we go to the gym and drink too much. What the fuck? I took a skateboard off a roof. You mother. What? You'd think you'd have to amp it up as years go by. On this show, we sleep. What the fuck? And you fill a club?
Oh, my God.
All right.
It's fine. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they actually, I mean, the what are the first jerk-offs?
Jersey Shore?
Jackass. They're very talented. I know that's weird to say, but they are.
Well, they're ballsy. Like,
but not just that.
But they see you push them in a shopping cart towards a bunch of trees. They stay in there until gravity makes them get out. Like, these guys are talented, I'm just saying.
But they are. You know, skateboarder guys are amazing.
One time I tried to staple my balls. Didn't have the nerve. Didn't have the talent. Behind is right.
Did you really try to staple your balls?
No, I'd be able to do it.
You guys are going to get to know each other one day. Just two more shows.
My birthday's July 3rd.
You want me to do it for you?
Can I get lights for my
staple
birthday?
Staple it to her labia.
You know what? I gave her these very clever lights, smart lights that you can adjust on your phone.
Whoa, what's
she
this?
Likes ambiance and atmosphere. She made a little light bulb joke.
For your birthday, he gave you lights.
He gave me light bulbs. I'm not kidding.
They're nice light bulbs. It's because you don't know how to work them. Is it my fault? I don't think
gifts are supposed to make me like get a screwdriver. Like, I'm not supposed to do labor to enjoy my gift. What happened to a fucking pair of diamond earrings? Like, come on.
Right. The light bulbs were a little less expensive, a little bit. I mean, it's all the colors in the one light bulb, but it's a little cheaper.
No, it's great. I can't wait.
Yeah. One year together, I get diamond rings. That should go great year by year.
What do I get next year? Like a
mop. Bitch.
How did she react when you gave it to her?
She loved it.
Okay.
She's playing.
So you're a good actress too. That's great. You're a triple threat.
I am.
Now for Christmas, I'm getting her the actual light stand.
God. Do you know what though? He will. Like, this is not funny because I'm going to get like that. He'll probably wrap that shit up in the corner.
Like one of those.
The light stand.
Yeah. Nice tall light stand.
He has to say nice tall light
stand. No, she keeps showing me pictures of, look, I feng shuied my room again. Okay. So
there's it's great. I'm looking forward to getting them screwed in.
Wait for your next birthday.
It doesn't come with an install.
No,
I have to. It also, I have to download some app. I have to do. There's like 7 steps for me to enjoy this gift. Yeah. What's just that? Can't I just get a manicure or something?
Like, at the end of 7 years in, ta-da! Like, I do one step each year.
How do you feel about DIY massage? No, you know what? Keith gives the worst massages.
What kind of show is this?
The most fun ever.
Yeah, can we get back to Vinny? This started because you asked, did you really staple your balls? No, I'm not telling you if I did.
That's
year three.
Right.
I have to earn information. I have to work for gifts. Oh,
so Lord. You do the Gotham show.
Uh-huh.
That leads to Fox's Red Eye.
Yes.
And Red Eye, and Fox is known for being sexist.
Yes.
And do you notice, do you get put into one of those chairs they call the leg chairs where obviously yep. the attractive woman sits there and it's for the men to yeah. be like, I love news.
The first time I was in the leg chair, I remember thinking like, oh, I don't know, this feels weird. And then the next time I was on was with another woman and she got the leg chair. I was like, what the fuck's wrong with my leg?
There's no way to win, right?
Yeah.
It's really hard. And I've noticed that before I even knew that there was a thing called the leg chair. I noticed that women, I'm like, wow, you could see her whole thigh. And I'm so self-conscious of my thigh, especially like all the way up to the ass. Like, mm-hmm. And I'm like,
nah. Oh, it's Daisy Dukes on the news.
Yeah.
You know?
But they're wearing heels that are yeah. incredible and they just look flawless. And I always thought to myself, like, man, if I wanted to do that show, I'd have to think about that. And I'd hope that they put me in another chair. Turns out they will. But it actually is nerve-wracking to watch, because then you watch like, some women, you know, if you sit a certain way, then like cellulite forms. Like you don't even have cellulite, but like,
right.
So they have to watch for that. I saw this one.
In the business, we call that the double thigh.
If you want to feel good about yourself, watch yourself back on TV and then just analyze everything. I remember the first show I did, I actually it was a malfunction. I was keeping my own with the panel. And some of those panels are hard because they put you on with like, it's a comedy thing. And Tom Shalhoub and Andy did such a great job on there. They were really great. But I remember there were some times where the topics would come up and I would be on with these like really conservative people. And I would kind of be afraid to speak up. So I just did all jokes. Like I didn't put really any opinion in there. I just tried to make jokes all the time. Like, one point they were talking about Joe Biden. This was when Obama was in office. And I said, like, they were kind of bashing him. And I'm thinking, all right. So the only thing I could think of was, I said, I bet Obama commits elder abuse with him. That was like all right. I could think of, because I'm like, I don't want to really, you know, sound like I'm siding with them, but I want to distance myself a little bit. And I always had fun. And that first episode, I watched it back with my son the next day. And I had the earpiece started to come out, so it looked like I had a hearing aid.
And you didn't
I
feel
could,
it?
No, I did feel it, yeah. and I kind of like I tried to adjust it without being obvious. And my son's like, "Oh, mom, no,
oh, God!"
It looked bad. Yeah, it looked ridiculous.
Well, it's not the worst thing that can happen.
No,
but I'm sure it was distracting to you because there you are.
You have three kids. You sometimes take them to comedy shows that you do.
Sometimes.
Do they care?
No.
See, I would say like, you do joke about the kids. Would they be upset? And Kyle says, oh, they give a shit. They're at the bar. Who
cares? Isn't that interesting? When my parents spoke about me to like my uncles and whatever, I'd be like, oh, this is funny. Like they're roasting me basically.
Yeah,
and I'm
like,
what else do you think about me? Also, well, maybe you're a nicer mom, because I think sometimes that's the only accolades I would get, like overhearing them talking to somebody else. Right. So I'm like, what else do you have to say about me?
She told a joke making fun of one of the kids and she says, yeah, my kid, he's in third grade and blah, 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 and tells the joke and the kid hears it. And she's like, and he goes, mom, that joke. And she's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have let you hear that. I didn't think you'd be so sensitive.
So here's the joke. So I said, my biggest fear about getting older is I might become a Republican, because 20 years ago, if I walked past a homeless person, I would have been like, who did this to you? Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And now I'm like, well, you've made some interesting choices. And I said, this one guy wanted me to buy him lunch. And I'm like, you are not my responsibility. You need to pull yourself up. And he was like, mom, I'm in third grade. So I do that joke. And my son, I thought he had been in the green room. He was whatever. He had come into the showroom. And afterwards, he's like, mom, I can't believe you did that. And I'm like, oh, he's Max. Like, I compared him to a homeless person. He's like, I'm not in third grade. Everyone's going to think I'm in third grade. And I'm like, oh, my God. I literally just said you were homeless. But okay.
Can you tap the next guy, tell everybody I'm in fourth grade?
That's the cutest response,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
It's kind of a relief, but also like, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
When they were really small, I mean, the good thing about starting.
Did you ever consider breastfeeding while on stage?
No, my son was already, the youngest was, I started in April of 2008. So my youngest was maybe 4 months old.
Motherfucker.
And Jesus it was my.
Sorry. That was my sanity.
It was my sanity. I had to get out of the house. So I, you know, when you're starting out, you're not getting 8 o'clock spots. You're getting, you know, 11 and midnight spots. And so the good thing was the kids would go to sleep. My husband would be home and I would go out and do the shitty spots and come back. And then as they got older, occasionally I would bring them to like, if I didn't have a sitter and I had like an earlier show, I just say, okay, literally a handful of times that they just,
all three of them.
I don't think I ever brought all three of them at once. I think the older one went with me one time and the younger two have gone more frequently just because they like comedy and mm-hmm. they like being around it and they get sarcasm and they, you know, I don't think they were ever like hurt or offended. My sister one time called me up crying. My sister, who I love so much, but she's very, very religious. Mm-hmm. And I did a joke and it was, she did not like it. And she called me up really upset about it. And it was a joke about, I say, my daughter's really dramatic that she got mad because I took a piece of her gum without asking. So I said, what are you going to do when I fuck your boyfriend? And clearly I'm not planning on doing that. It is for the laugh, you dumb bitch. But my sister was really, really upset. And so then I had to have this conversation with
her. Doesn't that make you feel like your sister thinks you're a slut? Right.
Yeah. And I remember talking about it with Carmen. And she said—
Carmen Lynch.
Yeah. She
what
had,
a name drop.
She had told me, I don't know if it was her family or some, but somebody close to her gave her a hard time about some joke that she did. And she's like, honestly, like you have to not care, you know?
So, yeah. My parents are conservative. They don't even want to know what I do so that they don't accidentally find it so right. that they can right. for sure be upset.
Yeah. How lucky you don't got to deal with your parents.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, because they're dead.
Wow, 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 wow.
Thanks for bringing up that trauma.
Yeah, grass is always greener, right?
It is funny. So Keith complains a lot about his dad, and rightfully so. In fact, we have on Keith and the Girl, keithandthegirl.com/dad, which is all the files of pieces of our Keith and the Girl show that talked about these emails that Keith was sending as if he was his ex-wife talking to his dad, and the crazy shit the fake ex-wife hits on his father responds telling how pretty she, like all this weird stuff.
So your sister's not out of line. you never know.
Yeah, it's bizarre, but like you must be hearing about his dad every day, and it's like, okay, I have a lot of sympathy.
Well, I hang out with his dad.
It confuses him.
Is it weird to hear about his parents and be like, all right, okay, they're alive and you're a whiny bitch?
No, because it's different. I think it's all relative, you know. Sometimes I think I'm as sad as I've been. I think sometimes I'm lucky, like I don't have to take care of anybody or I don't have to think about, you know, Keith is talking about like, do my parents go into a home? Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to arrange for that? I don't have those problems. So
You don't got to think to yourself, who's going to take care of them? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Shouldn't it be me? Well, it's not. Who's going to do it?
Yeah, Keith has four siblings. So it's like, draw straws.
Right. Did the comics on Fox ever get nervous that they were selling out or that it was too, this show's too conservative? Like,
because the TV credit is a TV credit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a hard decision.
No, I don't know. I think I've known so many people that have done it that it's fun. I mean, I've been lucky enough to do it a bunch of times and I always had a great time. I mean, I like I said, sometimes getting in on the panel and making sure that I was heard.
Yeah.
Was that's like a skill, you know, when you're on with a bunch of people, you don't want to over talk and
but I felt because I find most comics leaning left, I did find that show almost like an oasis in the Fox News world. Were you guys given like the side eye by other shows as you walked down the hall? The funny guys.
No,
I guess we're letting their opinions go.
I think everybody wanted to do it. Like it was, I had people like friends of mine that were like, hey, how'd you get that? And I'd be like, I don't, you know, here, email the producer if you want. I can drop your name. I don't know if it's going to do anything. So it's
do you show your legs?
People wanted to do it, so it wasn't like it was this like crazy. I mean, there's, I don't know, I'm sure there's shows that I wouldn't want to do, but like that wasn't one of them. Yeah. Like everybody would still, it was funny.
It sounds like you could still, you can still have your funny and not like placate to the quote dark side or the Fox News side. And you can sort of alleviate that conservatism by dropping a joke that, and like you said, I think that's very difficult to teeter the line and still be funny on such a conservative network. So good job.
Roger Ailes ever finger you?
Oh my God.
What, gross. What advice?
I know, right? He goes for like finger. Like, <what?
laughs> and he gives light bulbs as gifts. Yeah.
What's the friend he should consult before buying you the next gift?
Tammy.
Okay. Now we clear that up, everybody.
I've seen Tammy. She's got taste, if you know what I mean. Okay.
So you need a second job to talk to Tammy.
Yes. All right, Carmen. Okay. Ask Carmen. Okay.
Share the show, everybody.
What advice would you give yourself specifically when you were younger? What do you specifically wish you knew?
Just go up and work your, don't try to make the audience happy. Stay out of your head and just do what you want
to
do.
What does it mean to be in your head while you're up there? How has that ruined what you're trying to do?
It means you're not committing to a joke. Like you're thinking like for example, the joke I just told you, the daughter one, there's some crowds where I'm like, oh, should I do this? But I already started the premise. And if you don't fully commit to it, it can go bad. And you'll get like either no laughs or like, oh, those are the worst. I hate when people are like, oh, no, man. Bitch, laugh. I didn't come here for sympathy. I came here for validation.
Especially, it's like, I'm going to fuck my daughter's boyfriend. Aww.
Yeah, this didn't just come out by accident. This wasn't a Freudian slip.
This isn't a documentary.
Right. I planned it. It's okay.
Yeah, I would just not to be in your head and just do what
believe
you
it.
Do. Yeah, believe it. Do what you want to do.
All right.
Yeah.
Did your parents ever see you do perform stand-up?
No, they're dead, Keith.
But they...
She started after they both died.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I do. Sometimes I do it on their graves for fun.
Right?
Yeah, just go on.
Aww.
Do you see their graves sometimes?
No, they're all ashed out.
Well, everybody doesn't really think about it. Like, what am I talking to? Bones? They still go.
No, there's no sight.
Okay.
They're just like, I think they're in the ocean or something. Or my mom's in some park. It was weird. Like, my mom wanted her ashes. There's this park she used to walk in. So my stepfather and I went and like, we were like, and my sister was like, this is fucking weird. Mm. This is weird. Like, we're putting, it looked like cigarette ashes and we're putting them down. And then we sit in this bench. We're like, this is weird.
Do you put it in water or just on the ground?
We just threw it on the ground.
You didn't water your mom?
No.
Well, you see like a dog walk by and you're like, you motherfucker.
Right? I don't even remember. Yeah, it was so long ago that we did that, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad you stuck with it. You're one of the funniest people I know. That is a fact.
Thank you.
And I love you.
We got to close this show. Okay.
All right, that's it. Go to myopeningline.com, subscribe.
Share the show.
And now the closing theme song. What you just heard was my opening line. Please subscribe and tell your friends. Go to myopeningline.com.